Welcome. This is The California Gold Rush by James R. Whitfield. I'm your narrator, Joelle O'Brien. Settle in. Logico. The glint in the tail race on the morning of January 24, 1848. James Wilson Marshall walked the tail race of the unfinished sawmill he was building for John Sutter on the South Fork of the American River. Near a Maidu village the local people called Kaluma, the river was running cold and clear from the Sierra snowmelt. Marshall, a New Jersey-born carpenter who had drifted west by way of Missouri and Oregon, was a gloomy man of 37 with a thin face and a habit of muttering to himself. He bent down at the lower end of the tail race, where the water deposited what it could not carry, and picked something out of the gravel. It was about half the size of a pea. He flattened it between two stones, and it did not break. He weighed it in his hand. It had the dull yellow gleam of metal, not the glittering brassy color of pyrite. He carried it back to the cabin, where his crew of carpenters and Mormon laborers were eating breakfast, and laid it on the table. "Boys," he said, "I believe I have found a gold mine." The men examined it. Henry Bigler, a Mormon battalion veteran and a meticulous diarist, wrote that night in his journal, "Mond, 24th this day. Some kind of metal was found in the tail race that looks like gold, first discovered by James Marshall, the boss of the mill. It is the first written record of the discovery and one of the few documents whose date is unimpeachable." Marshall took the flake to Sutter's Fort. 4 days later, John Sutter, the Swiss adventurer who ran a baronial frontier empire on the lower Sacramento River, tested it with nitric acid borrowed from his apothecary chest. The acid did not corrode it. He weighed it on his apothecary scales against a silver coin of equivalent volume. It was heavier. He consulted a copy of the Encyclopedia Americana and confirmed what he already suspected. It was gold. 23 carats fine. Sutter and Marshall agreed to keep the discovery secret. Sutter, who employed dozens of Native Americans in his fields and orchards and several hundred more under contract, knew exactly what gold would do to his enterprise. He wrote in his diary, "What a great misfortune was this sudden discovery for me." He was right. Within a year, his workers had abandoned him for the diggings. His wheat rotted unharvested in the fields. His cattle were stolen by squatters, and his land titles, granted in Mexican California and now uncertain under American law, would be litigated for the rest of his life. He died in Washington, D.C. in 1880, broke, having spent 20 years petitioning Congress for restitution that never came, the secret held for less than 2 months. By March, Sam Brannan, a Mormon entrepreneur who ran a store at Sutter's Fort and a newspaper in San Francisco, had visited the diggings, watched men pull gold from the gravel with butcher knives, and ridden to San Francisco with a quinine bottle full of gold dust. On May 12, 1848, he walked through the village's muddy streets, holding the bottle aloft and shouting, "Gold! Gold! Gold from the American River!" San Francisco, which had a population of about 850, emptied within days. Schools closed because the teachers had left. The crew of the USS Ohio, anchored in the bay, deserted en masse. The newspaper, The Californian, suspended publication on May 29, its editor explaining in his final issue that the whole country, from San Francisco to Los Angeles, and from the seashore to the base of the Sierra Nevada, resounds to the sordid cry of gold, gold, gold. While the field is left half-planted, the house half-built, and everything neglected but the manufacture of shovels and pickaxes. The news traveled outward at the speed of 19th-century communication. It reached Honolulu in June, Mexico City and Lima in August, Sydney and Canton in November, Boston and New York in September. President James K. Polk confirmed the discovery in his annual message to Congress on December 5, 1848. "The accounts of the abundance of gold in that territory are of such an extraordinary character as would scarcely command belief were they not corroborated by the authentic reports of officers in the public service, and within 48 hours every newspaper in the United States was reprinting his words." What followed was the large